Hello, this is Pastor Cal Hampton. I want to thank you for taking time out of your busy schedule to listen to our Second Mile podcast. It is my prayer that the Spirit of God might just enliven your spirit so that you might get a word from heaven today. And as always, you have an invite to come and worship with us down here at Second Mile Church on 804 Riverside Drive in Clarksville. May the Lord bless you. Thank you. Well, good morning. I want to welcome all of our folks online, but I want to tell you what, there's something special about being in the house of God on God's day with God's people. And I'm thankful that we've got our online presence, because there are folks who can't get here. It's been a great week, hasn't it? My grandmama Hampton used to tell me, you can have just as good a week as you want to have, or you can have just as bad a week as you want to have. It's up to you. Well, I've had a good week. And I understand our women had a good night Friday night. Was it that good, girls? All right. And yesterday I was at Vacation Bible School, training time for pastors and VBS directors. Great day. Then I sat down with a couple that's going to get married here in a couple of weeks. Man, it's been a good. We're going to have baptism here after this service. I'm thrilled to be a part of something only God can do. So if you have your Bible this morning, open up to Matthew chapter 16, verse 28, and then we're going to move down through Matthew 17. I want to talk to you about four truths to live by in these tough days. Y'all do know these are some tough times. You young folks don't have a clue, but we are having some tough times right now. We've got pandemics, pestilence, we've got famines, we've got national disruption. We're divided as a nation. We've got natural disasters going on, hurricanes, tornadoes, floods, fires, you name it. These are some tough times. And of course, Russia, you've all heard about that, has invaded the Ukraine, and thousands of our soldiers have been deployed. And then you may not know, we've had some death in the church this week. Bud Jenkins' mom passed away. Charlie Beth Hills, she usually sits right over here. Her grandmama passed away this weekend, and 16 days ago, her granddaddy had passed away. So these are some tough times right now that we're facing. But I've come to give us a word of hope. There's four things Matthew talks about here. Four commands, four imperatives, four instructions, four truths for us to live by. How many of you just need from time to time to hear, how can I make it? Six of you, seven, eight, nine, all right. Let's read the word together, amen? Matthew chapter 16, starting in verse 28. Assuredly, I say to you, there are some standing here who shall not taste death till they see the Son of Man coming in His kingdom. Now after 6 days, Jesus took Peter, James, and John, His brother, led them up on a high mountain by themselves. And He was transfigured before them. His face shone like the sun. And His clothes became as white as the light. We've got so much to look forward to, brothers and sisters. Let's pray. Father, we invite and invoke Your presence with us here this morning. As David's already prayed, Lord, come and sit down amongst us. May Your presence be so made manifest that we'll know when we leave here we've all been with Jesus. And Lord, I do pray for those in our church family who've had to say goodbye to loved ones. But I'm so thankful because of our high and lifted up, our glorious, majestic, Shekinah-filled Savior, that this is not the end. This is not the end. This is only the beginning.
We've got all of eternity to live in perfect unity and harmony. We love you, Lord. Make this text real to our hearts. In Jesus' name we pray. All God's children said, amen. Okay. I want to give you four truths quickly. If you're taking notes this morning, you can write these down as we move through it. First thing I believe the Gospel of Matthew is teaching us here as we begin to move through this text. Thank you. As we begin to move through this text is wake up. Wake up. So, can I just share my heart with you? There are some folks I run into just about weekly, and you know what I want to do after getting through talking to them? I want to just shake them till their teeth come out and say, would you wake up? Wake up. Time is passing. I don't know who you're sitting beside, but look at them and tell them, wake up. Now, how about the person on the other side of you? Wake up. Time is passing. Jesus said in the beginning of this text, 2,000 years ago, he went back to where he came from. He ascended back into heaven. He's gone. The 12 apostles and disciples and prophets, they're gone, right? And they haven't returned yet. And he told his followers that some of them would not die until they saw the power and the glory of Christ coming into his kingdom. What in the world was he talking about? Did he fabricate his message? No. He took Peter, James, and John up on Mount Hermon and gave them a foretaste of glory, a preview of the second coming. And I want to tell you, Peter, James, and John never got over it. You can read about it from time to time in their writings in the New Testament. Did you catch that word transfigured there in verse 2? Say that word with me, transfigured. You know that word. It's the word metamorphosis. That's the process that an old slimy, ugly, nasty-looking caterpillar goes through that process of metamorphosis and eventually is turned into a what? A beautiful, gorgeous butterfly. Well, that's what happened while they were up on the mountain. Jesus became on the outside what he is on the inside. All of that majesty and that splendor and that glory, all of that stuff as the Christ that's inside of him shone like the sun on the outside, and Peter, James, and John got to witness all that. Whoo! I'm going to tell you something, folks. There's nobody like Jesus. Wake up! Time is getting away from us. And so the Shekinah glory of God burst forth on that mountain building. Carol, we were on Mount Hermon. 9,000-foot tall Mount Hermon. And Jesus became on the outside what he is on the inside. Now, Matthew tells us that it was 6 days after the discussion that he had had about his second coming with his disciples. And why does Matthew record 6 days here? Well, will y'all allow me to just chase this rabbit for a minute? Well, even if you want, it's going to get... When was Adam created? 6 days. So that's the number of man. When you read through the book of Revelation, the Antichrist has a number. His number is 666. Triple imperfection. Man's imperfect, our number 6. And the Antichrist is personified as 666, triple imperfection. What's God's number? 7. That's right. Now, whether you know this or not, the Scripture says, I believe it's over there in 1 Peter chapter 3 and verse 8, one day is as 1,000 years to the Lord, and 1,000 years as a day. And so could he be talking here about 6 days or 6,000 years? And by the way, there's a good record, creation record, that human beings have been around not for 6 billion years, but for 6,000 years. That could be a reference here to what he's talking about. The power and the glory and the majesty and the splendor of the second coming of Christ would be 6,000 years after we first got started. Woo, wouldn't that be great? Because, you know, there's 2,000 years before creation to the flood. Then there's 2,000 years about, come or take a few years, from the flood to the time of Christ. And then from the time of Christ to our time, it's what? 2,000 years ago? He could be talking about a literal 6 days here. He could be talking about 6,000 years. I don't really, you know, what I'm interested in is the seventh day. Are y'all tracking with me? Some of y'all have got that moon calf look right now. Just stay with me. You'll get something you can hang your hat on here in a minute. Now, y'all just got to trust me on this one. There's a fellow over there in Genesis chapter 11 by the name of Nimrod. And he is a picture of the Antichrist that is to come. Nimrod decided that he would build a great city, and that his people would build a great tower all the way up into heaven. And they'd make a name for themselves. And so the Holy Spirit has always been around. And so the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit said, you know what, we better go down and take a look at this tower and check it out and see what's going on. Because they're trying to take control of our creation. And so the Father, Son, and the Holy Spirit came down and they looked at this tower and then said, you know what? We better confuse their language. Because at that time there was just one language on earth. And so that took care of the tower. Can you imagine? Up on maybe the fifth scaffold, and somebody says, hey, pitch me a brick up here. What'd you say? Stop all that babbling. And that's why they call it the Tower of... Oh, y'all are tracking with me. Okay. And so God destroyed their ability to communicate, and it all came tumbling down. So we're moving toward a one world... By the way, we already have a one world language. Do you know what it is? Computers. And we're moving... If you can't see this, you had your head in the sand... But we're moving towards a one-world economy, one-world government, one-world system, one-world political. That's the direction we're going right now. Are y'all with me so far? I mean, that's what's going over there in Ukraine. I mean, that's exactly what's going on there. And so Matthew says, in 6 days it's all going to transpire. I don't know if he's talking about 6,000 years, but all I've come here today to tell you is wake up. Time's getting away from us. And then secondly, the second movement in this text takes place in verses 3 through 8. Let's look at those, because basically Matthew's telling us to look up. Jesus is coming. If that doesn't whet your appetite, your wood's wet. You'll get that next week. Look at verse 3. And behold, Moses and Elijah appeared to them, talking with him. And then Peter answered and said to Jesus, Lord, it's good for us to be here. If you wish, let us make here 3 tabernacles, one for you, one for Moses, and one for Elijah. Don't you love Simon Peter? Open mouth, insert foot. I mean, goodness. Then Peter answered and said, Lord, it's good for us to be here. Let's make 3 tabernacles, one for you, one for Moses, one for Elijah. And while he was still speaking, behold, a bright cloud overshadowed them. And suddenly a voice came out of the cloud saying, this is my beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased. Hear him. Who do you think Simon Peter felt like then? And now watch this. And when the disciples heard it, they fell on their faces and were greatly afraid. But Jesus came and touched them. Aren't you glad that Jesus is still touching people? Hallelujah. And said, arise and do not be afraid. When they had lifted up their eyes, they saw no one but Jesus only. Woo! So what we have here is a preview of the second coming. Now, God doesn't have any favorites, but He does have intimates. Peter, James, and John were a part of the inner circle, and they were three witnesses to all this. And so they saw the glory on the mountaintop. And there were two participants who showed up there when Jesus became, when they saw all that He was in His splendor and majesty, Moses and Elijah. Now, you remember Moses. Moses never quite got to the promised land. He died on Mount Nebo, which we also saw over in Israel. Y'all need to go to Israel with me whenever we can get going. I'll be glad when we can get back over there. And by the way, if you're a child of God, you are going to Israel. That's another sermon. And so really what Moses represents, he's the great lawgiver. And Elijah never died. He went to glory in a chariot of fire. Never has died. And so Moses represents the resurrection crowd of the second coming. Y'all staying with me? And Elijah represents the rapture crowd. And some of us here are going to be a part of both. If you die, you're going to be a part of the resurrection crowd. But if you are alive when He comes, you're going to be a part of the rapture crowd. All right. And think about it this way. How many of you like to sing? Well, for half of you that don't like to sing, you're going to be singing one of two theme songs. Either you're going to go up singing, "Oh death, where is your sting?" Or you're going to go up singing, "Oh grave, where is your victory?" Y'all, I'm doing some halfway decent preaching right now. Just halfway, but... When they heard this voice from heaven, Peter, James, and John, oh my goodness. They fell down as if they were dead. They were scared to death. And Jesus came over and said, and don't you love how Jesus, "Don't be afraid. Don't be afraid. I'm right here." After they heard, "This is my beloved son," you know, the voice that came out of... And here's the deal. Verse 8 says, when they had lifted up their eyes, they didn't see Moses and Elijah anymore. They just saw Jesus only. And can I just tell you, I have lived long enough to tell you, He's enough. Amen. Jesus is all you need. And if you've got Him, you've got everything. Whew. You know, the scientists today are trying to figure out the answer to creation. Well, the Bible says that the world was made by Him, for Him, and through Him. Jesus is the answer to creation. It's Jesus only. And then they're trying to figure out, you know, the answer. What's the answer to religion? And so we folks have turned to Muhammad, and people have turned to Buddha, and people have turned to Confucius, and people have turned to the Dalai Lama. People have turned to Joseph Smith for that answer. But the Bible says there is salvation in no one else, for there's no other name under heaven given among men whereby we must be saved. It's Jesus only. It's Jesus only. Yeah, you can get happy if you want to up in God's house. And then, you know, Billy's in the middle of Zechariah. Man, there's some deep prophecy in the book of Zechariah. And so the world today is trying to make sense out of this end time prophecy. And what I figured out is that Jesus is the answer to prophecy. If you want to understand what one toe on the left foot of the beast in Revelation is, and what that means, it's Jesus only. Jesus, the Bible says, is the testimony. The testimony of Jesus is the spirit of prophecy. And so we're looking for Jesus only. Look at your neighbor and say, "I'm looking for Him." Who are you looking for? And so the first admonition for us in these last days, in these tough times that we're living in, is to wake up. Man, time is slipping away. And the second admonition is to look up. Jesus is coming. Here's the third one. Sober up. Satan is working. Don't y'all sit out there and look all spiritual. I know you know who He is. I do too, right? I mean, what does the Bible have to say about Satan? The thief. The thief, definite article. The thief comes to steal, kill, and destroy. The evil one, the devil, Satan, whatever you want to call him, wants to kill your spirit, steal your joy, and destroy your life. Sober up. He's at work. Now, Peter, James, and John, Jesus, they were all up on the mountain of glory. But the problems were back down in the valley. Look at verse 14. And when they had come to the multitude, a man came to him, kneeling down to him and saying, Lord, have mercy on my son, for he is an epileptic and suffers severely, for he often falls into the fire and often into the water. So I brought him to your disciples, but they couldn't cure him. Then Jesus answered and said, O faithless and perverse generation, how long shall I be with you? How long shall I bear with you? Bring him here to me. And Jesus rebuked the demon, and it came out of him, and the child was cured from that very hour. Now, I understand Simon Peter. I mean, if I'd have been up on Mount Hermon with him and saw him transfigured, metamorphosis, and he became, I mean, and I saw that Shekinah glory of God, I would have wanted to stay up on the mountain too, and so would you. Now, hopefully I wouldn't have said something stupid like, let's build all three of them a tabernacle, you know. But how many of you know that it's wonderful to be on the mountain in splendor and majesty and glory, but the problems are down in the valley? And so Peter, James, and John were up on the mountain of glory, and yet the other disciples are still down in the valley. And evidently this broken-hearted daddy had brought his little demon-possessed child to the disciples. And he had some form of epilepsy. But the Bible says that he was demon-possessed. And he would fall off into convulsions and fall off into the fire and the water, almost been drowned. And you know, I want to tell you, Satan is after us. He wants to destroy your life. And he's on a short leash right now. He knows his time is limited. He knows that and so he's working overtime against us. But that's okay, because greater is he that is in me than he that is in this world. Satan is working, but hallelujah, Jesus is still speaking up. Now, did you catch this? Watch this. The father had taken this boy who had some type of demon, a demon of epilepsy, And they couldn't heal him. And so Jesus has now come down off the mountain, and the father brings this boy to him. And did you see what happened? Did you catch it? It's real simple. Jesus, it says, rebuked the demon, and it came out of him, and the child was cured from that very hour. All Jesus has to do is speak. All Jesus has to do is just touch you. All Jesus has to do is just look at you. It doesn't take long for him to heal somebody. I don't know what you're up against today, but can I just let you in on a little secret? You're on the winning side. If you belong to him, he's not going to win. Satan is not going to win. And all across this room, there are divisions, there are broken hearts, there are illnesses and physical infirmities, and there are addictions and all kinds of problems. Listen, brothers and sisters, we're not on the mountain, we're in the valley. And we need for Jesus to speak up. He has the power to heal you. So just know this. And you know, I have to be real careful what I say sometimes, because you'll get the wrong idea. But I run into people all day, every day. And some folks think that we're on some little frolic, that we're on a playground. This is a battleground. The forces of good are in a war with the forces of evil. There is a spiritual battle going on, and you're involved. And just remember this, though. The next time somebody says something stupid to you and makes you mad as a hornet, just remember this. Our battle's not against flesh and blood. Our battle's not against one another. Now, the old evil one can use somebody. Hello? Because you're still mad at him right now. But your battle's not against flesh and blood. It's against powers and principalities and the rulers of the darkness of this age, against spiritual hosts of wickedness. And so Satan's working, but Jesus is still speaking. Oh my goodness. We've got to get to this warm baptism. All right. So, wake up. Time's passing. Look up. Jesus is coming. Sober up. Satan's working. Here's the last one. This is what I wanted to get to. Pray up. Pray up. Because mountains need to be moved. All right, pray up. Now look at verse 19. Say glory with me. Glory. Verse 19, then the disciples came to Jesus privately and said, why couldn't we cast it out? So Jesus said to them, because of your unbelief. No wonder he's shaking his head. How long have I got to put up with this? You know? Because of your unbelief. For assuredly I say to you, if you have faith as a mustard seed, you will say to this mountain, move from here to there, and it'll move. And nothing will be impossible for you. Let me say that again. Nothing will be impossible for you. However, this kind, Jesus tells his disciples, does not go out except by prayer and fasting. Some of y'all thought it was ridiculous to operate in January on prayer and fasting. Desperate times call for desperate measures. And when the church prays and fasts, it invokes the power and the presence of God on us in a way that we can't get any other way. So, just remember what he says here. They said, Lord, why couldn't we heal this boy? Why couldn't we take care of this issue? We've healed other things. We've seen other things come to pass. And Jesus said, because of your lack of faith. Whew. He said, if you just had the faith of a mustard seed. Y'all know what a mustard seed, how little that is, right? For those of you that don't, you know that little bitty tiny black fleck we call pepper that you put on your eggs this morning? One of those? That's the size of a mustard seed. And so Jesus said, if you just had enough faith, matter of fact, the size of a mustard seed, this wouldn't be an issue for you. You know, what Jesus is saying is this, that the least amount of faith that you have is still greater than the greatest difficulty you're facing. Let me say it again. That is good, y'all. Take notes. Get it down up here. Get it in here. The smallest amount of faith that you can muster up, is still greater than the greatest difficulty you'll encounter. Do you believe that? That's what he's asking. Over in Mark's gospel, this same story, the father comes to Jesus and said, help me. Your people couldn't help me, but you can. He said, all things are possible to him who believes. And then he said, do you believe? And that old broken-hearted daddy said, I believe. Help my unbelief. I don't know what you're going through here today, but we serve a mountain-moving God. Hallelujah. You see, I believe in prayer because I believe in a mountain-moving God. It's not just about prayer. It's about the one who answers prayer. Yeah. You got a mountain that needs moving? You know what? It's time, church. We just all admitted to one another, we're a mess. We're a mess. Look at your neighbor and say, you're messy. I know. Here's the deal. Jesus came to get in the mess with us. And if you will, like his old broken-hearted daddy, Lord, I believe. I believe. Childlike faith. I hear that boy or that girl. Childlike faith. I believe. Help my unbelief. Jesus is saying, no matter how weak and small your faith is, it's still greater than the greatest thing you'll ever have to come face to face with. Where is your faith? Get the kids out here. I want to preach to them. And so I don't know what you're going through today, but this is God's message to each one in this room. Man, wake up. Time's passing. Look up. You know, Jesus himself said, when you see wars and rumors of wars, pestilence, pandemics, national disasters, all this stuff, these are signs. Look up. But there is no sign that needs to be fulfilled for the rapture of the church. I'm not looking for signs. I'm listening for a shout. Wake up. Time's passing. Look up. Jesus is coming. Sober up. Satan's working. And bless God. Pray up. Mountains can be moved here today. Four things. You got to apply. Four things I've got to apply to my life so that I can live in the last days. Let's pray. Father, forgive me. I never know when to shut down. I never know when to. It's so hard to land this plane Sunday in and Sunday out because. Forgive me, Lord. I pray that we've heard from Jesus, not this silly preacher. Because it's Jesus that we need to hear from. And it's Jesus that needs to speak into our situation. And it's Jesus that we need to have faith in. And so, Lord, I don't know what you want to do during this time of response, this time of invitation. But I know that I know that I know there are issues all across this room. We are in the valley. We're not on the mountain right now. Not yet. Now you give us glimpses of the glory from time to time, and I like it when it's like that. But Father, we're in the valley. We've got folks that need new kidneys. We've got folks that have said goodbye to loved ones. We've got people in this room right now who have addictions, and they need to be set free. And there are folks in this room who are brokenhearted, lonely, don't know what to do. Oh God, would you see fit? To come down off that mountain with your glory and step into our lives. That's what needs to happen in the valley. The glory needs to come into the valley. Oh God. Do what only you can do here. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. If you need to be saved, I wouldn't let 1,000 demons keep me from this altar today. We can share with you how you can leave here born again. And if you've got an issue that needs prayer, I wouldn't let 10,000 demons keep me away from this altar. Because you see, when we pray up, mountains get moved. Let's all stand and sing.
This is Pastor Cal again. I hope you enjoyed the message. If you'd like to talk to me or another pastor about some issue that you may have, a question you might have, you're free to call 931-332-6288.